Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast, presented by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com. Oklahoma State football, it's Texas Tech Week, big week here on the podcast as the Cowboys go on the road for a fun one. It's always wild in Lubbock. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. Now, as we are recording this, there is anticipation in Oklahoma State and Stillwater for Matt Polk, the Scottsdale, Arizona wide receiver, who is a little less than an hour away from announcing his commitment. Oklahoma State seems to be a favorite, but we don't know yet. Probably by the time you're hearing this, we've already reported what he's done. So go check that out on Oklahoman.com to find out what his decision was. But sounds like it's a good chance that the 6'4", 210-pound, three-star receiver out of Scottsdale is going to pick the Cowboys. But we'll find out for sure in a little less than an hour. That said, Jacob, I want to tap into your insight on Oklahoma high school prospects. In particular, Brennan Presley, the other wide receiver currently committed to Oklahoma State. He's a slot receiver, what, 5'8", 155, 160 pounds,
that's
somewhere
about right,
in that range. Not a big dude, but based on what I've heard from you and what film I've seen, pretty talented dude.
I'm really high on Presley. I've seen him since his freshman year at Bixby. I covered him in the semifinals, against Midwest City a few years back, and then you knew he was dynamic. It was easy to see. Primarily then he was a defensive back, and you thought, all right, he's dynamic there. And then you see him get the ball in his hands more, and he's electric when he gets the ball in his hands. You would think with a guy that size, that's what held him back in the recruiting. But I always told people, especially as I was putting the Super 30 together at the beginning of the year, the beginning of the school year in the summer there for our annual feature series, and I was like, man, Brennan just feels really low to me because I had to have him in the kind of around 2021 just because of the offer list, and I thought this feels really low. And then you get talking to him, he's talking to Kansas, Oklahoma State, kind of got these schools just haven't pulled the trigger yet, and it worked out where Oklahoma pulled the trigger. And he's off to this really fast start this season, has a lot of people excited. First couple games, I think he had, five or six touchdowns a game at least, and
right.
And was going bananas every time he got the ball. And it's I think he's the steal of this Oklahoma class a little bit right now. He and a couple other guys are really high on my list, but for Oklahoma State, I think he's the steal.
Yeah, and that big victory over Jinx, he was huge in that game. I don't remember his exact numbers, but pretty ridiculous on both sides of the ball in that ball game, along with Jordan Reagan, the defensive back who has committed to Oklahoma State. So. Another important addition to the wide receiver group, if Casey Dunn is able to land Matt Polk, then you got an inside guy and an outside guy in this class. You're looking at a group that only graduates one senior in Jordan McRae, the grad transfer. Most likely, I would expect Tylan Wallace to be on the way out as well. So. Replacing two guys is an important move here for Casey Dunn, and these are two guys that have been high on his list for what he wants to bring into this program. So
here's the thing about Brennan, I like too. He's a fun kid.
That's good.
People are gonna really like Brennan. He's just fun, energetic. Says a lot of fun stuff when you talk with him. So I think that's gonna be good too.
I'm all about fun. Fun is good. Speaking of things that were fun, Chuba Hubbard rushing for 296 yards was fun to watch.
And it was okay.
I did not get to visit with you on the postgame podcast. Jenny Carlson sat in for you after the Kansas State game on Saturday, Oklahoma State's 26-13 victory. So real quick before we take our first break of the show, your thoughts on Chuba and all the other things you saw on Saturday night?
I'm still kind of blown away by what you see from Chuba because it's – I go in that game thinking there's no way he carries the ball a ton.
Right.
I was thinking that they were so determined that they were going to get some backups involved to kind of get going that direction, but to take some workload off of Chuba.
And then he doesn't even touch the ball the third series.
It's a lot of play action the first few series there. He's kind of a decoy. He gets that first carry, and you're like, okay. And then he didn't – you thought he wasn't going to get to 20 carries still on the night he was having. He's having a huge night. Then he closed out the game and got to 25, but he just keeps going. It doesn't matter the opponent, the situation. It seems like he's just going to keep going. He's becoming this – to this point, and I wrote this in tomorrow's paper in our journal about L.D. Brown a little bit too. It's the point where you can't get him off the field to where it doesn't matter who the backups are right now.
Right.
To Mike Gundy and his staff, because you can't take Chuba off the field anyways. And it's just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we spoke to Hunter Anthony tonight. He was a lot of fun talking about it, talking about how he blocked his guy. He saw that Chuba was gone, so he took off down the field. And he said from the time that he started running as fast as he could, that that Chuba extended his lead by about 50 yards in their in their race to the goal line.
So. Hunter also told me too that he's taken some pictures with Chuba to kind of cherish this. Like, I think he's really loving Chuba behind him, and
yeah.
He's like, I'm in awe of this guy. I took some pictures so I can have some keepsakes here.
It's not a bad plan at all, because Chuba Hubbard looks like a guy who has all the makings of a very special running back. And the guy that's going to play this game for a while, for as long as his body will tolerate it. So, on that topic, Chuba Hubbard, only a redshirt sophomore, but he is a third-year guy and would be eligible for the NFL draft after this season should he choose to go that direction. And we were just talking a little recruiting. Oklahoma State does not have a running back in this 2020 class yet. That might be something that they have probably started working a little harder on at this point, because at the beginning of the year, I don't think it was necessarily a big concern, but 5 games in, it looks a little more concerning than it might have.
Yeah, you know, and I'm more adept on, more up to date on in-state guys.
Right.
I know they've offered Isaiah Jacobs at Owosso.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only guy they've offered. But I don't know if they want to go back and take another look at a Dominic Richardson at McGinnis or a Savion Morrison at Tulsa Edison. Two guys that, you know, Richardson's committed to TCU and Savion's committed to Nebraska. Two guys mm-hmm. that are dynamic running backs themselves, that if you can't get Isaiah, do you double back?
Right.
Maybe and try to get one of those guys. I mean, I'm sure there's out-of-state options that I'm just not aware of off the top of my head, but in-state-wise, you know.
Yeah, they've got a couple other offers out there, even a junior college guy mm-hmm. as well. So, they're monitoring the situation, that's for sure. So, but at the same time, they got to get some other guys involved right now.
They've got to start putting some pressure on some guys.
So that they're ready to go next year if they do find themselves in a desperate situation. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Texas Tech game a little bit on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Jacob, Texas Tech Week. Your first trip to Lubbock. Am I right in that?
That is correct. I have never been to Lubbock as a visitor, as a media member, or anything. Never been to Lubbock. I don't know what to expect.
Flying tortillas.
I heard there's tortillas.
Yeah.
I like tortillas.
There's a lot of flying tortillas. You don't want to eat these tortillas.
Oh, okay.
You don't know who's been touching these tortillas.
That's true.
You don't
want
to know where
That's
these
true.
Have been. So,
but I do like tortillas. Maybe we should get some tortillas elsewhere.
Yeah, well, then, no, I'm all for that. Somewhere that is mandated to follow health codes. I'm all for that.
The health codes are important.
Yeah. But there will be flying tortillas and other odd things. Odd things always happen in Lubbock, but let's get into what might happen on the football field. Talk a little bit on the Oklahoma State offensive side of the ball. We were talking about Chuba Hubbard before the break. I think that's the biggest question facing Matt Wells and his defense: is what do you do? Do you try to slow down the guy who is running away from everybody and try to go with the Texas method, just load up and try to take Chuba Hubbard away? Do you try to sink back and not give up big pass plays? I have no idea. If I was a defensive coordinator, I have no idea how I would try to attack this defense.
I don't know what to do if you're Texas Tech. I mean, they didn't have any answers for Oklahoma's offense
right.
last week. I didn't watch that game. I was at the men's basketball practice and stuff, but I know enough and saw enough highlights to know that their tackling was not good.
Right.
And you if you can't tackle, you're going to really struggle with Chuba Hubbard. And if you can't tackle in the secondary, you're going to struggle with Tylan Wallace mm-hmm. and some of these big receivers that OSU yeah. has. And Spencer Sanders, for
yes.
that matter, too. He doesn't go down easily. He doesn't slide.
No.
And so I don't know what they do. Because I think if they load up and try to stop Chuba, I think Tylan Wallace is going to have a big game.
Right.
I think he's going to have a really big game at that point. If you don't load up and stop Chuba, I think Tylan Wallace is still going to have a big game, and Chuba's going to have a bigger game. And
yes.
it's just I don't feel like Matt Willis has a formula that you can go in and say this formula is going to work
no.
to slow him down, because Spencer Sanders is going to run on him. He's going to throw on him. Chuba, Tylan, I think guys like Landon Wolf and Dylan Stoner can have big games. It's just I don't know what you do.
Right, because, you know, you think about it, and it felt – looking back on it, it sort of felt like Texas had some success against the Oklahoma State offense because, you know, Hubbard averaged, what, 3.3 yards per carry. Wallace didn't score a touchdown, even though he had over 100 yards and five catches. But the issues were...
Nope.
Coming back in 3, 2, 1. But the issues were more self-inflicted wounds by Oklahoma State in the red zone. If they aren't settling for field goals, or if they aren't you know, failing on fourth downs, you know, they're pushing toward 40 points, and you know, that's good enough to win most games. So even though it feels, thinking back now, like Texas actually had a successful day. It was only to an extent that they were really successful. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe if you've got good enough linebacker play that you can keep a guy in the middle of the field, load up the box, and still move a safety over the top of whatever side of the field Tylan's lined up on. Maybe you try to attack it that way, try to keep all those holes filled, and try your luck with that. But I think there's too many other weapons that haven't had to be utilized yet by Oklahoma State at a real significant level for you to be able to slow these guys down.
Yeah, and Texas Tech's linebackers are good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bright spot of their defense, but I just don't know that the defensive line, especially secondary, have much of an answer.
No, I agree. So we'll see what they choose to do, what future teams choose to do. It's going to be a guessing game from week to week. I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams doing the same thing that they did the week before. You're going to see a lot of defenses going against their natural trends when Oklahoma State is on the field opposite them, because they pose so many unique challenges with the talent that they've got right now, and it's going to be really interesting to watch. Last thing before we wrap up this segment, one more Chuba Hubbard related item. I'm writing about it a little bit later this week, and I'm fascinated by the idea of a running back in the Heisman race, in the Heisman conversation. And you know, we saw ESPN, The Athletic, both had him, you know, in their top 6 or 8 of their Heisman polls that they do within their among their people in their offices and the work for them. You know, he Hubbard and Jonathan Taylor are the top two running backs, and really the only two running backs being discussed among a bunch of other quarterbacks. And I asked Mike Gundy this because I genuinely am curious if it's still possible. Can a running back win the Heisman anymore?
It's a good question. Gundy says they can. The data isn't really showing they can. That's the issue right here. I think you looked up as two running backs since 2000, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That have won the Heisman. It's all quarterbacks otherwise.
Yes.
And, you know, and everyone else, you know, you look at the quarterbacks, you're looking at, you know, Jalen Hurts and Tua there at Alabama. I bet the last names is still not my thing. What?
Yeah. And it's just, there's so many talented quarterbacks, and it's such a quarterback world that we live in now with college football that it's just really hard for a guy to break through. You look at the two running backs who have won it, Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry at Alabama. They were the dominant player on really good teams that had they had game manager quarterbacks.
Yes.
They didn't have superstar quarterbacks. Otherwise, their quarterbacks probably would have been the ones in the conversation. So it's a different world. It's a different way that things are viewed. And I'm still gathering information on this story and really looking forward to seeing how it turns out. But you know, it's a fascinating topic because this guy's getting some real talk right now. And you know, you look at some of the games ahead right now with you know. Texas Tech obviously doesn't look as all that scary. Iowa State doesn't look as scary as it did. There's some games where he could go rack up some pretty big yards and put up some more highlight reel plays for this offense before it's all said and done. And it's going to be interesting to watch what his Heisman candidacy looks like from here on out.
Yeah, sorry, I'm dodging traffic here. As we're driving here, I'm dodging objects in the road. That's why my thought process trailed off there a little bit. Sorry.
When you're in the Oklahoma Mobile Studio, yeah. you got to deal with the elements.
There's objects flying on the road.
It was
here.
A well handled situation by you.
But the thing that jumps out to me with Tua right now, what would his numbers be if he actually carried the ball more than 8 times against McNeese?
it would be ridiculous. The fact that he's already, you know, 936 yards at this point in the season is crazy enough. But
he'd be well over 1,000. He might be over 1,100 if he had a normal night against McNeese.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't need to, but it's just a fun thing for me to think about now. What he would have done.
Yeah, exactly.
If he had to go against McNeese.
Even if he just had 5 more, you know, he probably would have broken a big one at some point. All right, well, let's finish up right there and come back and talk a little Oklahoma State defense here on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. As always, we want to remind you about our Friday mailbag segment, final segment of the week every week. You can join in that at Scott Wright OK on Twitter, or if you want to be like one of our new favorite listeners, email swright@oklahoma.com or junruh@oklahoman.com and jump in that way. We got an email
with a bunch of questions.
He might dominate the segment.
Yes,
it might be only him if nobody else.
Nobody else jumps in. We've got plenty of questions, but we will take more. We'll answer them.
Adam in Tulsa coming through big time for us. We'll answer his questions in our Friday episode. But you can still jump in if you want to at those various ways that I mentioned. So with that, Jacob, the Oklahoma State defense, this is probably the thing that legitimately worries Oklahoma State fans more than anything this week is the fact that this is a backup quarterback. And they've had some bad run-ins with backup quarterbacks over over the last few years. Probably the most notable one was but some of the most notable ones: Skylar Thompson as the third-string quarterback at Texas or at Kansas State 2 years ago, came into Stillwater and won against a really good Oklahoma State team. That same year, Zeb Noland at Iowa State was the backup who came in and looked like a superstar against Oklahoma State and pushed them to the brink. Oklahoma State eventually pulled out a 49-42 win there. But Iowa State was throwing into the end zone on the final play of the game when A.J. Green picked off a pass on a fade route. Last year, TCU, I don't even remember that dude's name. He was the fourth string guy. I had never heard of him before the game. Had to Google him to figure out who in the world it was. He was a fourth string, former walk-on, or I think he was still a walk-on, senior. They'd just been hanging around and being a scout team quarterback most of his career and got a start and comes out and beats Oklahoma State as TCU earned bowl eligibility and gave OSU a 6-6 regular season.
The cover of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram is probably going to be hanging in his office forever now.
I would assume so, yes. That's most likely what's going to happen there. So, yeah, and I mean, we could do a whole podcast on backup quarterbacks that have had their way with the Oklahoma State defense. But they're hoping that is a trend that ends Saturday with Jet Duffy in Lubbock, Texas. Is there a better name than Jet Duffy?
That's a pretty good name.
If you're in Lubbock, yeah. Texas, and you're a quarterback, is there a better name than Jet Duffy?
I like that. That's good.
Maybe the only better thing would be if he was a running back.
Yeah. You know, I just got through covering Jet Sternberger at Kingfisher, too. You know, so he's a quarterback.
He's a good dude.
So, you know, it's I don't know. I don't feel as worrisome about it this week for some reason. I feel like Oklahoma State's defense has progressed enough. I keep saying they keep taking steps every week, and they do. The way the linebackers with Amon and Malcolm and Devin and, you know, you can throw in Brock Martin and Trace Ford there if you want. The way they're all playing right now, I feel like Oklahoma State's defense is kind of on a roll going into Lubbock, and it's not always the case in the past. The secondary's played really well. Trey Sterling had a huge game. Colby Harvell Peel's been great. You don't notice A.J. Green and Rodarius Williams much because they've played so well. And so I think that's a good sign. I think when they're going into this, I mean, to me, I get the worry about it, I guess, but I don't feel too worried about it.
No, I agree. Before I go on, I'm going to try to throw a little confidence your way. Ogbong Bamiga. You're getting better.
I am.
You're getting better.
Amon Ogbog Bamiga.
I'm getting much close. Better. I think you're about ready to just throw it in on the fly.
Yeah. If I'm not dodging things in traffic, I feel a little better about saying it.
You're a little rattled right now. It's understandable. I think we're going to see Jim Knowles open up his bag of tricks and bring some safety, or not necessarily safety, but probably safety and some other types of blitzes, some creative blitzes, some things we haven't seen yet. The pass rush has really been pretty bland to this point. You know, they didn't want to show anything the first 3 weeks until they had to. You know, you think back to that 4th and 6th play against Tulsa when they brought Colby Peel on the Colby Harrell Peel on the safety blitz for the 4th down sack. They didn't really do much with Sam Ellinger at Texas. Because they were more worried about containing him,
and not
letting him get out of the pocket. Kansas State, it was all about stopping the run, and they didn't have to worry so much about Skylar Thompson beating them with the pass. So they haven't had a need to really do anything too drastic or exotic with their quarterback pressure, and I think that will get ratcheted up a little bit this week. They're going to start to turn a little deeper into the book and bring out some stuff that nobody has seen yet or has been seen very little last year, maybe with a totally different group of guys. So it'll be interesting to see what differences Jim Knowles has. I think it could be a fun week for some guys like Brock Martin, Mike Scott, Trace Ford at that Leo position. And all the different things that they do as well.
I think Trace is in for a big week. I think he's been kind of quiet once Big 12 got here. He's been kind of against some teams, though, that don't necessarily play to his strengths. And now I think this kind of pass-heavy spread offense is going to be the kind of the thing that, you know, that Trace is going to go and attack. And, you know, he's not going to get out, you know, big physical offensive line in front of him. I think he's just going to go attack and have a good week.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a week where his speed plays to his advantage, and he can really take advantage of some situations and be a game-changing type of guy. So, all right, we'll wrap this up. Let's shut this down before anything else crazy happens, because it's been a wild ride, right? It absolutely has. So with that, we'll finish it right there. This has been the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your local Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com.